He said, great mistake. I was watching his testimony on Turning Point. That he thought, okay. He said, if I thought London was fast, America was on jet speed. By the time he was through, Americans deported him and sent him home. It was a mental case on cocaine. That's how all of them gave their lives to Christ, because now only church can handle them. Pastor Paul's case is the same thing. Pastor Paul said he used to use crack. You know what they call crack? Highly purified cocaine. That's what he used to use. Why? His father had money and sent him to school. That's the only... There was nothing else. If he was in Lagos, there would have been no problem. That his father had money and sent him to Miami to go to school. That was it. His mother that is now enjoying them, because God delivered every single one of them. At least Shego and Pastor Paul now are pastors. The problem is that why did this start? They had money. And used the money to buy trouble for the family. And one day Pastor Paul came to Enugu, was preaching. He said one day, he saw his son. He told the boy, have you had your bath? The boy said yes. So he touched the boy. He said the boy went to the bathroom, poured water on the head and wiped it and came out and did like this for his father. Yes, I've had my bath. He said suddenly he remembered that that's all he used to do when he was young. He said, yeah, this boy, the one I remember, he said, you will not do to me what I did to my father. He brought a belt, attacked the boy. He said, listen, you won't do, because suddenly he said he painted the picture of his life, what he became, how he broke his father's heart. You won't do to me what I did to my father. Beat sense out of the boy. beat sense into him. Say, listen, oh boy, you won't do to me. That's how I remember it. What I did to my father. Because those boys gave their father serious heartache. But God finally had mercy. Why am I talking about that? I don't know why people want to use their money to buy trouble. I can't seem to leave this matter alone. What school is a 16-year-old boy going to? Far away from home. I can't understand it. Oh boy, you are going to UNN. In fact, UNEC here. UNEC. We will send you to UNN. You are going to UNEC here. So that every weekend, you can stay on campus, no problem. But periodically, boy, half hour. Before you praise too much, I don't catch you. I don't make you. Rearrange you properly. It's true. It's true. I have to see you periodically. I don't toss you off to where I'll be seeing you twice in a year. For what? I like God for me, but the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, though, I went into that to say, when you are reasoning, don't only reason economically, reason spiritually. That's all I'm saying. Once you have reasoned spiritually, you cannot reason economically. You can reason politically, and then reason geographically. And when you have reasoned all of this reasoning together, if you say it's America, God says go to, fine. If it is Cameroon, the will of God. If it's New Zealand, God will go with you. But please, start your reasoning spiritually. And don't forget, the plowman must plow in what? In hope. This is my series. I'm teaching to those who really believe in praying for their nation. That's it. If you don't, it doesn't concern you. Forget that you listen to the messages. Toss them away. Live your life the way you want to live it. I'm talking to those who believe in praying for their nation, who know that they are on assignment from God to do it. Those are the people I am talking to. I say it one more time. God will take care of you. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Let me say it one more time. God will take care of you.
Amen.
And he will take care of your own.
Amen.
He will take care of your children.
Amen.
You cannot serve him, all right, and he will not take care of you. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he will bless your bread and your waters. It's a spiritual principle. Once you are truly serving God, he will bless your bread, bless your water, bless your children, bless everything that concerns you. Your seed will be mighty on this earth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I've established all these foundational principles, and it's revealing that I wanted to speak about planning for your seed. And then we'll talk about that again at another time, maybe on a Saturday series. We'll talk about planning for your seed. Very, very important. And the emphasis, of course, I'm going to lay is the fact that it's a spiritual seed that you sow for them. That's the primary thing And you keep on praying and praying, and God actually answers prayers. And then when you walk a walk of righteousness, you invoke a blessing upon your offspring by that. Let's read the book of John chapter 1. That will be one that I'm talking about. What do we pray for concerning our country? What do we pray for concerning our nation? Very important. I want you to understand something. God has a plan. And the devil is always trying to thwart the plan of God once he discovers it. Once Jesus was born, when Jesus came to the earth, Satan, once he heard that, he set out to kill the young child. And he walked through Herod to slaughter every child that was 2 years and younger because he was looking for one child. Are you getting my point? There was a particular child he wanted to kill. He was not interested in all the children in Israel. He was just in one. And that's how he walks. All right? If you're going to read Revelation also, you see the same principle there. That Satan is trying, the dragon, trying to kill that man child that was born. So anytime God is trying to do something, Satan also has his plan to try and thwart it. All right? So when God is redeeming the land, planning to bless a nation, Satan will also go out trying to thwart that plan of God. And many of the things that we find around, which is why I'm talking about it, is actually part of satanic machinations to try and thwart the plan of God. There was a time Rehoboam Bonnke did a crusade in Ilorin. And typical of Rehoboam Bonnke, it was a massively successful crusade. A Rehoboam Bonnke kind of crusade is a type that can change a town, all right, from being predominantly Muslim to predominantly Christian in one crusade. You know my point. So it did wreak havoc in the kingdom of darkness in Kaduna. The next crusade was supposed to be in Kano. And they had planned it. He had done in Kaduna before. I think it was after Kaduna he went to Kano. And now he went to Lorin. I think he was now going to Kano. Then, there was no Boko Haram that time. Riot broke out in Kano to prevent Rehoboam Bonnke from coming. He was panicked spiritually now. He panicked. This guy is coming. So they went to the Emir's palace and said, nobody is coming here. Let's make a long story short. Riots broke out. The government had to stop. Of course, the crusade couldn't hold. Rehoboam Bonnke couldn't come. And actually, he was banned from coming to Nigeria after that. The next time Rehoboam Bonnke came to Nigeria was when Obasanjo became president. He came to attend the inauguration. By that time, things had changed. And then the current government allowed him in. Of course, it was a different government now. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is that you see Satan was working, trying to prevent the advancement of the gospel. I dare to say. That's why you must be careful what you say. Very, very careful. You know, my friend Pastor Corey will explain that you see, what's happening in the country currently is basically a distraction. Most of our prayers now is on what? Security. Have you noticed that? And that you are praying now is security, 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 security. Some don't even pray. Their own is break it, break it, break it, you know, break it, break it. All right? That is, Satan has essentially succeeded, in quotes now, in diverting the attention of people from what is most important to what is less important. Security is important, amen? Amen. But it's not the most important thing. Economic prosperity is important, amen?
Amen?
But it's not the most important thing, all right? Good roads are important, amen?
Amen?
They are not the most important things. Good leaders are good, they are not the most important things. There are things that are more important in a country than those things. And I'm going to talk about that now. And first of all is the gospel of Jesus. Next is justice. That's how it is. The gospel of Jesus is number one. Next is justice. Before we're talking about the road and all of that. That's how it is. So we have to be careful. When we are praying for the country, we also have to put first things first. The book of John chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And it says, without him, is that apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life. Now, please notice that. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it. Now, you see that it said in John chapter 3, just quickly go down to chapter 3, from verse 13. He said, no one has ascended into heaven, Then verse 14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might through him be saved. He who believes in him is not judged, and he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This, he said, is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Let me just stop here, all right? One more scripture, then I'll make the first point I want to make, and then we'll close for today. Luke chapter 10. How to pray for a nation. We have laid some important foundations. What are the things we ask God for in every country in which we are planted? Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. That's verse 1 I'm reading from. And sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. So just by the way, if you think Jesus did not have plans, you can see he did. He had a strategy. We are going to go through all these cities. So before we will arrive, two of you go here, two of you go here. Go and warm the ground, tell them we are coming. Yeah, that's not my point. He had a plan. Didn't just wake up in the morning and say, where's Holy Spirit blowing us today? Where's my nose facing? Where's my nose facing? He said, Master, it's facing Capernaum. All right, let's go to Capernaum. It's not like that. They will sit down, him, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, all of them, and say, all right, we need to cover this district. How many towns are we going to go into? They will say, 35. It's okay. Let's get 70 people who will go two each, all right? That they go in pairs into each of those towns. Then this is what they will preach. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. They'll tell stories. Master is coming. They'll say things. And then Jesus will come in, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and all of that. So he had a plan. That just by the way. All right? So let's continue reading. Verse 2, and he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Please notice that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That is, we should have had more than 70 people, but that's all I could find. And I'm just adding my own to it, all right? They now give instructions to the people that he sent out. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, greet no one on the way, and all of that, and all of that. And these are the things these are the instructions they gave them while they went around to execute, ahead to execute the ministry. Now, why did I read these things? All right? I read from John chapter 1. We're talking about what do we ask God for a country. Now, remember this. This is how God did it. I need to keep emphasizing this. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of men. What that means simply is that if God wants to do something, I want you to just get this one in mind. Let me just quickly drop this. So I have a message to preach quickly on that. Let me drop that and then we'll go. All right? If God gives you a revelation concerning what he would do, do you understand my point? He didn't say plan to bring it to pass. That's not the first thing. First thing you do is that you start praying about that revelation. Did you hear what I said? I'm not sure you heard me. Let me say it again. Assuming now you are a small man, a small woman, and you had great ideas on how to build great industries in your nation. And you actually dreamt one night and dreamt of it. Or somebody was preaching and a revelation came. God is not saying, go and start, start researching online on how to do it. Once that revelation comes, the first thing you do is to pray. Now, when I say pray now, I'm not saying just pray, oh, is this the will of God? I mean, start praying the thing into existence. Pray with that thing in mind. Start declaring words in that direction. That is the first, that's the primary thing. It's when you have done that, as you are doing that, that understanding starts coming to you on what to do, and God starts mobilizing people to help you do what you are supposed to do. If you don't do that, you will labor and may never see that thing come to pass. That's a mistake people make. Usually what God actually does most of the time is to tell you, prepare for this, what I'm about to do. He's not saying do it. I don't know whether you get my point. He's not saying do it. He's saying prepare for what I am about to do. He said, I, the Lord, I do a new thing. It's not you that's doing it. He's the one that is doing it. So why does he reveal it to us? He said, oh boy, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. Alright, so what I do then, when I want to do something on the earth, I look for people, alright, on that earth, to cooperate with me so that I can bring it to pass. And the first people are those who say, not those who do. I don't know whether you get my point. Yeah. They are not those who run about. They are those who say. What they are doing, they are giving authority to that thing that God wants to do. So it starts praying and hearing words and prophesying about. He can do that alone for the first 5 years. Sometimes 10 years. Before suddenly, all right? Because what happens is that what the Lord is doing with that is that as you are praying, as I said, pray the Lord of the harvest. I'm not going to bring an issue here. Okay, you are a small man. You went to school. You have a degree from a school that's not internationally known. Maybe you go to America. You mention the name of your school. They say, which continent? You know that kind of thing. You don't have money. Your father didn't leave anything significant for you. The land left in the village. You guys are still quarreling over who owns the one near the tree. Are you getting what I'm saying? How do you build a business of $1 billion? That's what I'm trying to explain. How? You can't. By yourself. That's what I'm saying. But actually, there are people that have $10 billion looking for what to do with it. That's what I'm saying. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. When you start praying about things like that, God starts arranging favor. You understand my point? Changing governments, laws are rearranged, people are offering you deals, then you start climbing bit by bit, your faith is enlarged. Then one day you look, that dream has not only been fulfilled, it began to dream another one. But the mistake most people make is to get up, how do we do this? Who do we know here? They start planning. After 5 years of intense planning, they are frustrated. Why? You see, these battles are spiritual. You are running against spiritual forces you don't realize. You think you are contending with men. You are actually running against spiritual forces. So God gives you a vision. There was something happened the other day when I went for our convention. I was praying the last evening and everything. I got up to speak. I just told people that, listen, there's something, I shared it with my wife and Pastor Corey afterwards. What suddenly dropped in my mind while we're praying there, and I just had a strong feeling that it's from God. I told my wife later, so what are we going to do about it? I said, nothing. What am I going to do? It has now become a prayer point. That's all. It has now become what? A prayer point. God wasn't saying that back here, you're not going to do the organize. Just begin to pray about it. The time will come when if you have to do, you now know what to do. Then God starts opening doors. When Pastor Paul was preaching that series on the quantum leap, strategies for a quantum leap, when he began, you know, I was following. At the point in time, I was a bit, curious, you know, like, okay, how will people decide, how will I as a person listening to this also, decide when to take a leap, you understand? You just wake up in the morning, just close every door and jump. And he himself preaching said that you may jump and not land properly. That you may jump and land in a hole, but that there are holes out there. So I listened to the message, like the third or fourth message, he now began to explain that what will actually happen is that God will open doors. And that when God opens a door, the whole message he's preaching is that don't be afraid to walk through that door. That those doors usually are great and they will put you at risk. What was the message? When God opens a door, walk through it. When God gives the opportunity, leap. Don't try and create your own leaping process. Are you getting my point? Wait for God to open the doors and then be bold and walk into it. Are you getting my point? Why did I bring up that matter? So when you are praying about it, those are the things that God will be doing so that one day the thing opens, you know the time has come for us to begin to take steps in this direction. That's what I'm going to explain. So you get a vision from the Lord. The first assignment is what?
Pray.
Is what?
Pray.
Thank you. That is the first assignment. And not in a hurry. A lot of people are, you know, one of the problems of this life, people are too, they are too eager, they are too emotional, they are too zealous. The zeal is too much. The zeal, people have too much zeal. Just have a dream today, tomorrow. Hey, we are going to conquer all the nations in Nigeria. And by the time, before they preach from here to Abapa, they are tired. What God has said, okay, I've given you the vision, the dream to conquer all the nations, all right, in the country. There's every segment. First thing you do is what? Pray that vision into existence. And most of the time, now take this with the basic of caution and with understanding. Most of the time, you continue doing what you are doing currently and don't do any other thing. So, but I have a vision to read the whole world. Don't worry. It's a vision. Don't be so. No vision. With everything that God told Paul, 2 years, he didn't go anywhere. 2 years, he didn't go anywhere. Most of the people that conquered the whole world with preaching, go and check it. They reference my good example. Most of them didn't do anything more than, you see what I'm doing here? Eh? That's what they were doing too. Nothing more than that. Then somebody will just come one day and say, good afternoon, sir. Please, there's a program in so and so place. He didn't organize it. He will go there, stand very coolly, and preach again. Then it's after that, say, there's another program. He didn't organize any one of those programs. The representative in the U.S., what the people that God really used to move him around was full gospel businessmen. So a few of them listened to the messages, and they began to invite him from one place to the other. Said the day he got to New Zealand was when he found out that there was already Derek Prince New Zealand. I don't know what the hell I said. He went to New Zealand to go and preach. And when he got there, they gave him papers to sign. What am I signing? That they want to incorporate the ministry in New Zealand. That they had been broadcasting his messages on air. And people had been writing in. So it was difficult to manage it. So they needed to open an office. So they needed to start Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand formally. It had existed for a long time. So now needed him to just sign a few papers and go back to where he came from. I don't know whether you understand my point. Yeah. The people were running it, they were raising money, they were gathering money, they were doing everything. But you hear Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand. Bro did not start it. This man was covering half of the globe daily with the messages that he was preaching. I'm emphasizing something. Jesus talked about praying the Lord of the harvest. I need to explain that, okay? I still have not made the point I wanted to make. Maybe we'll make it next time. Our time is almost up, all right? Now, what I'm trying to emphasize is that when you have a vision from the Lord, the first thing you do what?
Pray.
The first thing you do is what?
Pray.
And you pray consistently. Every time that vision comes to your mind, don't just sit down there and say, nice idea. You wake up at night. You see, that's what this fasting and praying thing is for. Don't be waking up at night to chase enemies. For what? Or the Buddha say, I will not sleep. They have succeeded, you are praying. You wake up at night to pray against those who say you will not sleep. Have they not succeeded? They now come and say, why are you dozing in? I was awake at night. What are you doing? I was praying against all those who said I will not sleep. No, that's not what you do. That is when you start declaring in the name of Jesus. Those television stations, the radio stations, we are going to start them. It will happen that will cover this land with this. And you wake up at night, donate 1 hour, then you go back to sleep. During the day, you are hustling like everybody else. You are not even working in a radio station. No? You are getting my point? You are just hustling like everybody else. You are there selling your recharge card. Nothing spoiled. Are you getting my point? But they see you on the road, you know, running up and down. Maybe you are one of those boys on the road selling card. They don't know that at night, I had a new revelation recently. He said, I must walk the walk of him while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. I used to think that the night cometh when all men can sleep. He said, no man can walk. But I realized that he will walk during the day, and many nights he will pray. I don't know whether he got that. This is how it is. There is a day season when you will walk, but there are 9 seasons in which what you do is what? Pray. I don't mean physical night, yes, but before the day comes when you can walk. Because the days of God, go and check it, they start at night. Yeah, God doesn't start the day during the day. It was evening and morning, the first day. That's God for you. It was evening and morning. Sabbath to start at 6 p.m. The Sabbath was 24 hours. Remember that? Seventh day, the Sabbath day. The Jews started it at 6 at night, not in the morning. The Sabbath was not from 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. It was from 6 p.m. today to 6 p.m. tomorrow. The night was always first. So when God is counting days, it is the night first. And then the day. And when your life seems to pass from one day, bright things were happening, then suddenly things are not working as well as they should, you should know you are stepping into the next day. You are not stepping into troubles. I don't know whether you got what I'm saying. You are starting the new day. The new day, God's day, always starts at night. It doesn't start during the day. So business was doing very well. You were making money. Suddenly, nothing is moving again. Nothing is moving again. He said, "Oh, my enemies." He is not your enemies. It's the beginning of the what? The new day. The new day is about to begin. So what do? That night season? So you see all those people running up and down the road. There. One of them, when everybody at night, everybody don't go watch Man U. Arsenal, Plymouth, which other? Borussia Dortmund. Give me another one now. Manchester, Bayern Munich. Thank you. Give me one in South America. Galapagos. There's one Galapagos. What's the name of them? Galatasaray. Thank you. You know, while other people are watching, the young man is there. During the day, he has little education. He also sells a charge card on the road, running up and down. But because he has heard good word. When everybody has gone to sleep, when they are watching matches, he's at home. He has a Bible in his hand, he's pacing up and down. My life will not always be like this. I will not always be on the road. I'm a great man that God has made. I'm going somewhere. Are you getting my point? We are going to, and begins to declare, he's declaring. While he's doing that, he suddenly becomes lucky. I don't know what I get my point. He becomes lucky. One day he's selling card to somebody. I said, "Why are you selling card here?" "Oh, that's great things are going to happen." "Oh, why are you not going to school?" Then that's it, becomes lucky. Somebody opens the door for you, can come and do this. 10 years later, he's telling a testimony wearing a very sharp, ugly tie. Are you getting my point? With a very expensive suit, and he's giving you a testimony. You now say that boy was hardworking. Yes, but it's not the hard work. It was the night when everybody else was watching Man U. You are getting what I'm not explaining. So you have a vision from God, my brothers, my sisters. Forget zeal. You know, I told there's a cure for zeal. You need to cure your zeal. Zeal is not good for you. If you are too zealous, it's not good. You have to temper it. The Bible says for a soul, you know, to be without knowledge is not good. He said that good understanding. How does that scripture go again? Proverbs. I preached on it. A cure for zeal. To be in a hurry is not good. He that makes haste with his feet ends. You have a vision, you don't run after it immediately. You pray after it, about it for a long time. A whole year you are still praying. A whole year you are still praying. I read that scripture for a different reason, but I've used another thing now. Because all of you are looking at me, I know you are learning something from it. So that's why I can't leave it. People have been looking at me. Hi, he said, "Pastor, preach this one, preach this one. We'll pray for the country next time. Preach this one." Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Listen, actually, as believers, one of the things you have to understand spiritual things. Sometimes people, you know, hurry to do things and take them 10 years to succeed in doing it. But even if they are taking the first 2 years and done nothing, and what they've done is you continue what you are doing currently, you're selling a recharge card on the road, and the fellow is praying this prayer we are talking about, and then begins to learn, study the word of God. But that's what God does for you. First thing he gives is wisdom. Yeah. Look, what he gives is what? Wisdom. Paul talked to Timothy about it, called the wisdom for salvation. Many of the things we learn by trial and error, actually, God did not plan for us to try and fail. Our trial and error was simply because we did not learn. So we had to learn on the job. I don't know whether I get my point. You've heard the story before of Thomas Edison. He tested the filament bulb how many times? Everybody has said, "I've heard 10,000, I've heard 3,000. But let's just, I think the one I heard that seems most authoritative was 10,000. He said he tested the electric bulb 10,000 times before it finally worked, right? And when they asked him, "How come you're able to test it 10,000 times without getting tired?" He said, "I only discovered 10,000 times, 10,000 ways by which it wouldn't work." But how many of you ever heard of Tesla? Tesla was a scientist also, his contemporary. While he was working on direct current, Tesla worked on alternative current. Tesla won because his alternative current was obviously better. for long distance transmission. Direct current only works for very short distance. So if you see the batteries on your, the terminals on your car battery is very thick. Otherwise, it will generate a lot of heat. Anyway, let me not get too technical. Now, Tesla, while he was working with electric bulb, Tesla and co. works on fluorescent tubes, things like that. These mechanisms. That's what they worked on. So God just helped both parties. Both of them did very well. But of course, as you know, eventually Tesla is going to be the one you will remember because the electric bulb is going to phase out over the next 10 years. The only reason why we still use it now is because those what you call low energy bulbs, they are expensive. Once they drive the cost down, everybody is going to abandon the filament bulb. Now, why did I tell the story of Tesla? When I heard this, I was impressed to hear it. They said that while Thomas Edison was trying, Tesla didn't used to like that. That Tesla said that Thomas Edison used to waste a lot of energy. That Thomas Edison worked unnecessarily. That most of his work was a waste of energy. That you only the man will settle down and think. Tesla's testimony, let me explain it now, use down that, is that, I'm modifying words now, is that if Thomas Edison had bothered to settle down and think, he probably would have tested that bulb only 10 times. But that the man wouldn't rest to think. He was an energy person. Grow, grow, grow. Then we today, we have now learned that never give up. Keep on. Tesla said, listen, what am I doing testing a bulb 10,000 times? I read the story of a physicist. His name was Kaluza. Kaluza believed that theory was very important. So one day to prove it, there was a simple way he proved it. He had never swum in his life. He read a book on how to swim and jumped into a lake. I don't know whether you get the points. He had never, tested, do like this. Kaluza took a book on how to swim, read it, digested it, and then jumped into a lake and swam. That if you have good theory in mind, you understand? The practice will work. I don't know whether you get the point. So, Tesla said Thomas Edison was a time and energy waster because the man chose not to do much thinking. Now, why did I bring up that one today? Actually, the first thing God gives is what? Wisdom. All the time, Trump raised that people are running for 10 years because they don't worry. Spend 2 years praying, reading, listening to me. You will catch up with those who tried for 10 years in 2 years. Ultimately, you'll have spent 4 years to get to where they got to in 10 years. And eventually, you will overtake them. By the time you have worked for 10 years, it will be as if they worked for 50 years. So what God wants to do, let me get back to it now, is that he gives us a vision and we start praying for it. Anything he wants to do, this was why I went into that. Anything he wants to do, the first thing he does is to get people to pray with him, which is the reason why he gives us visions. So if God wants to evangelize your country, you and I have to pray about it. Are you getting my point? Somebody has to. Why am I talking about that? What is the first thing a nation needs? Which was why we read John chapter 1, John chapter 3. The truth is that the most important thing every group of people need on this earth is the light of God. And that light of God, the other name is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I started by explaining the fact that my friend said many of the things happening is a distraction. That Christians now don't pray for the gospel anymore. What are they praying for? Peace. Well, the first thing that Maiduguri needs is not peace. The most important thing they need is what? Light of the gospel. The whole of Borno State needs the light of the gospel. And all this fight of Boko Haram is to ensure that that gospel does not stay, does not move, does not progress. That's all. But we easily forget. And it's not our fault. That's how human beings are. We react. So when we are praying for a nation, don't ever forget this. We must pray for the advancement of the gospel. Let me stop here. All right? I said many things today. I hope you are blessed by them.
Yes, sir.
I hope you are blessed by them.
Yes, sir.
Can we just share the grace in fellowship because we have spent a lot of time? Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death. We have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus.